wondered if they had dimmed these lights because I was coming up soon, that they reduced the glare a little bit for you. Ralph and Janice were celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary, and Pastor Jones decided to take advantage of their longevity by using their story as a sermon illustration. He asked Ralph to come on stage and share some insight into how he managed to live with the same woman all those years. Ralph turned to the congregation and said, "Well, I treated her with respect and spent money on her, but mostly I took her on traveling on special occasions." The pastor asked, "Trips to where?" And Ralph answered, "For our 25th anniversary, I took her to Beijing, China." The crowd nodded and murmured in appreciation. When things quieted down, the pastor said, "What a terrific example you are to husbands, Ralph. So tell us, where are you going now for your 50th anniversary?" And Ralph replied, "I'm going to go back and get her." Anniversaries are special occasions which cause us to remember things, like going back to get our wives 25 years later. 2 Corinthians 2:17 says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." There are many ministers and ministries out there that corrupt the word of God by not rightly dividing the word of God. For 75 years, the Brand Bible Society, with sincerity, in the sight of God, has spoken and preached Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Pastor Stam had plaques all over Brigham Bible Society, and we had this verse on a plaque in one of the back hallways that I always appreciated when I walked by it. 1 Thessalonians 2:4, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." We each are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we each have been given the privilege of being put in trust with the gospel of the grace of God and given the responsibility to speak it. BBS has taken this trust and, with God's help, spoken the gospel of grace, spoken God's word in the sight of God, not seeking to please men, but God. And preaching the mystery, preaching the word rightly divided, isn't popular with men, but it's right before God. It may not please men, but it pleases God. And that's what's most important. Being put in trust with the gospel, God wants the gospel of the grace of God kept pure. He wants His word not to be corrupted by mixing law and grace, kingdom truth and body truth, and the gospel of the kingdom with the gospel of the grace of God. We do this by taking a stand for the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which the Berean Bible Society has done for 75 years. We care for people by sharing the gospel, by sharing the undiluted gospel of the grace of God, which saves men's souls today. And we care about people by taking a stand for God's truth for today, so that they can come to understand the glory of what God is doing today under grace, and understand how He wants them to live and to serve under grace. God cares deeply about faithfulness to His truth, to His message for today, and that's the true measure of success in the eyes of God. And because of this, the Brigham Bible Society has been a successful ministry for 75 years, because it's remained faithful to the truth for 75 years. Brigham Bible Fellowship and the Brigham Bible Society have stood side by side since BBF's inception in 1968. And it was through Pastor Stam and the Brigham Bible Society that they were instrumental in the forming of the Brigham Bible Fellowship in 1968. And they wrote the following words at that time. The Berean Bible Fellowship is a fellowship of individual believers in Christ who have banded together to promote the gospel of the grace of God and the word rightly divided. Because of this purpose that was established nearly 50 years ago, you'll never see a Berean Bible Fellowship church, because the Berean Bible Fellowship is made up of individual believers that are banded together under the truth of God's truth for today. At the annual conference of the Berean Bible Fellowship in Cedar Lake, Indiana, the Berean Bible Society book table has always been there from the beginning, prominently displayed at the Berean Bible Fellowship conference. And as I was going through old pictures, and as the staff was getting things ready and we were putting out photo albums, and I was thumbing through photo albums, and I noticed that the old pictures of the BBS display at the Berean Bible Fellowship conference, and I felt a little intimidated and a little underwhelmed by the way I do it, because Pastor Stan he'd go into his wood shop and do a wood cutout, paint on the Berean Bible Society, paint that sign, and have it little shelves for books made and signs, and I go to Office Max and I pick up plastic signs, you know, that we put up around the table. And so you see the dedication that there was there in the past to make a presentable display of Berean Bible Society's books. I've had the privilege to work at BBS for 19 years, and many things have amazed me in seeing God's working at BBS. And one of them was the privilege I was given to take a short-term mission trip halfway around the world to the Philippines, and to go into the churches and the Bible schools over there and to see the searchlight that I had been working on displayed there. And then to go into a Bible school and see racks of Berean searchlights there for the students to go into the library and to research and use. And to see the things that differ in all of Berean Bible Society books is the main portion of their library and the teaching that goes on there. And that touched my heart when I saw how God has used Berean Bible Society in the mission field and all over the world. And going to conferences and working at book tables, it's a joy to actually work at the book table, because you meet everybody at the conference, because everybody eventually comes to the book table. But to hear their testimony, so many share their heart when they come up to the table and their excitement at God showing them the truth through the literature of the Berean Bible Society. And there's countless testimonies that I can tell of people that have come up and talked to me and just thanked BBS for helping them see the word rightly divided. And I've seen in my local church ministry, one-on-one, personally, with the people in our church, how the literature have touched their lives and touched their hearts in helping them to know and to understand what God's doing today. One thing that you can't work at Berean Bible Society long without seeing and catching is the fire of the passion of Pastor C.R. Stamp and the amazing amount of work that he accomplished in his years of ministry. The radio broadcasts, all the literature that he wrote, the Berean searchlights, you just go on, and you see all that he's done by God's grace with his help. And it's amazing in that you catch that fire when you work there, when you see how much was done by the founder. And it continues to the president now. And you catch that fire, too, in that time that I've spent for 19 years and working side by side with my dad. And to see the fire, the same fire, that continues to this day, and the dedication to the word and the work that goes into it. When I was a young man, when we'd be working on a project at home, and I'd be working with Dad, I'd be wanting to go play ball or something. In the midst of the project, I'd be done, and I'd be wanting to go do something else. And I'd say, Dad, can I go now? And he goes, oh, we're just getting started. And it's the same way at Tabernacle Bible Society. That was the work that he puts in. And the man's out of us as employees. It is always, we're just getting started, you know. But that's how it is with ministry. That's how it is when God's worthy of our service and our hard labor for Him, that we are just getting started. Because there's a lot to do for God. A lot we need to be doing for Him. But as touch to the staff, I think I can speak for all of us, is the donations that come in. All the donations are precious and all used by the Lord there at Brigham Bible Society. But when you get those $1 donations, the $2 donation from a widow, from a person in a nursing home, from someone who can ill afford to even send $1 or $2. And then Ricky had run recently, or a homeless man sending $5 to the Brigham Bible Society. And to think how God will honor those sacrificial gifts into His work at Brigham Bible Society. It reminded me of the widow's mite. You know, the Lord, and seeing that woman put that mite in that she couldn't afford either. But the how God's used the Brigham Searchlight has amazed me. And seeing how they've been found. They've been found in gas station bathrooms. They've been found on top of garbage cans in rest areas. And we get people that write in and say, hey, I found this on top of a garbage can and it looks really good. Sign me up. And those are the type of stories where you know God's behind it. And we're leading people to the truth through seeing it on top of a garbage can. There's stories of searchlights in barber shops and rest areas, doctor's offices. It's displayed in Dallas Theological Seminary, and probably their idea of what not to believe. But think about how God has it there for a purpose, how it can be used to show somebody the truth with it being there. I'm seeing how things that differ have been bought at garage sales. And people say, hey, I bought this at a garage sale. This helped me to see God's Word rightly divided. And there's countless stories of the impact of things that differ. And Pastor Bill Blair, are you still here, Pastor Blair? I don't see him here. I took him on a tour yesterday at the Brigham Bible Society. And his testimony of 39 years in the ministry, wondering and questioning and thinking something just doesn't quite add up. And somebody gave him things that differ, and within the first two chapters he knew this was it. This was the truth. This answered all of his questions. And it was a result of a seed from 35 years earlier of someone that came up to him and said, you know, the Gospels, they're for the nation of Israel. They're not for today. 35 years later, he makes that connection to that statement that he still remembered. Somebody gives him things that differ, everything falls into place. And so we should never underestimate the seeds that we plant. When we make a statement and somebody rejects it, we think we failed. Maybe you didn't. God's going to use that. You didn't fail. He can use that later. And it has amazed me how the simplest person who just reads their Bible and by the Holy Spirit with a little guidance from literature from the Brigham Bible Society can come to an understanding of the mystery, and they know more about what God is doing in the world today under grace than respected men who have studied the Bible for years, who have pastorates of mega congregations and degrees and doctorates, and a simple, humble person that is reads their Bible and sees the mystery, knows more about what God's doing than they do. I get a daily, weekly, not daily, a weekly call from a man in a mental hospital in Chicago, James. He has more understanding than millions upon millions in this world. And all he wants to talk about is grace. He says, he calls me up, he says, we're under grace, right, Pastor? Yeah.
We need to live by grace, right?
Yeah.
Grace answers the tongue question, doesn't it, Pastor Kevin?
Yeah.
Grace answers the baptism question. It answers the miraculous healings, right, Pastor Kevin?
Yeah.
Yeah. God's grace is sufficient, isn't it, Pastor Kevin?
Yeah.
And he fires me up.
Prisoners constantly come to see it. We constantly have letters coming in as we share literature that get into the prison ministries, and God uses it. And the truth sets people free. Pastor Sam had that verse on the front of the Brigham Bible Society in the past. The truth shall set you free. And we've seen that in action. My wife answers the phone, and she can't contain her excitement sometimes when she answers the phone. And she gets excited when the people are excited about being new to the grace message. And that light just goes out, and she's in my office, and she's like, "You wouldn't believe what this person told me." And they said, "It's the next best thing to getting saved." But they say, "It's so simple. Why don't more see this?" And then they ask for fellowship, and they want a church to go to. And then we have to tell them, there's no churches in your area. And Brigham Bible Society becomes a lifeline for them, an encouragement to them through the ministry. There's testimonies out there, though, of people that'll drive 100 miles one way on a Sunday morning to go to a church that preaches the truth, rightly divided. The truth is that precious to some people, and it should be that precious to each of us. And what I've seen is that God delights to give understanding of His Word to the humble and to the teachable from all walks of life in all ways, and getting that truth to them. And I'll close with this. A lady called in. It was a Monday morning. I was still groggy on a Monday morning. I hadn't had a cup of coffee, but I hadn't drunk it yet. And she calls in, and right away on Monday morning, because she heard a message on Sunday that really bothered her. And she said that this pastor told her, "If you don't love others, you're going to hell." And he based that out of 1 John. That if you're not being born of God, you need to love others. And I told her right away, that it's not based on our love for others. It's based on our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for our sins and rose again. That's how we're saved. That's how we're not going to hell. But then she was wondering, what is love? And I was talking about it being a selfless love, others-minded care. And then she said, "Well, my son was murdered. He was a young man. For $32 in his wallet, he was gunned down and robbed and killed." She stood up at his sentencing, and she looked at the young man, and she told him this: "I hope that one day you will truly feel guilt, shame, and remorse for what you have done. Because then maybe you'll realize that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And I pray that you will trust that He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and be saved, and then change your life." And she asked me, "Was that love?" I said it was the highest example of love I think I'd ever heard, for a mom to stand up and say that to her son's killer. And she says, "Not going to heaven isn't based on my love for others anyway, right? It's on the basis of our faith in Christ, right?" And I said, "Yeah, 100%, yeah." But we can comfort others when there's teachings out there that are false, that are wrong, that are not rightly divided. And we can comfort people like this by rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's what makes the ministry of BBS so vitally needed in a world. There's so many wrong teachings out there. Teachings that cause people to fear and to worry, like this woman, worrying about her not loving her son's killer. And BBS is needed because we need to help those who need assurance. We need to be there for those who need help, who need the understanding, who need the truth.